everyone. Welcome to part two of Put Me In Coach. In parentheses, I'm ready to play.
Part two.
Center field. Yes, part
Here
two.
We are.
It's amazing. And we are happy to bring you the news of the show, the things, our opinions, and the things that we do, because this is Grey's Academy, the Grey's Anatomy podcast. The entire
Grey's
internet
Academy.
Is swooning over. And I'm Carmen. She's Kelsey. Together, we are the greatest host duo of all time.
And we're doing amazing.
We are doing amazing. Also, did you know that, you know, that website Chartable that we use?
Mm-hmm. We used to use nope. before it went away.
Well, it's still here for another, like, 6 days or something.
Oh.
But we reached our highest high point in the United States charts.
Oh. What did we get to?
We hit to top 40. We are number 40
wow.
on the charts.
Wow. Thanks, guys. Yeah. You guys are awesome.
We've been top 100 consistently for yeah. quite some time now, but we couldn't really like crack 50.
Top 50, yeah.
And then we hit 50, and it was like we hit 49, and then it was like randomly we hit 44, and then we dropped back up, and then we had a really strong week, and we were at number 40. So number 40 is our all-time high in the United States. There's a couple of countries that we've been like top 10, top 20. Like I think
we also, first of all, we've been streamed in 73 countries. So hello all around the world. You guys are cool. And then
Agreed.
Spotify, we get a Spotify Wrapped on our end as well that we'll probably be sharing, in a little bit, on our Instagram. But our growth this year was like, everything that we could have grown in, we grew over 100% in listener streams and followers. So again, you guys are just cool and we like you.
Yes. 160% follower growth. Mm-hmm. For 324 people out there, we were their number one podcast streamed.
So yeah. And we were like top five for like right at 1,000 and then top 10 for like 300,000 or something absurd like that. Probably not that many, but we were top 10 for a decent amount of people.
Yeah, that's really just insane.
You guys are lit.
And it's a lot of a millennial gang. The millennial gang is 36% of our listenership. So
which
like,
makes sense because that's like the time frame that people were like probably watching it live. Like when it was in this era that we're currently in, there are definitely people, younger people that are like discovering Grey's now and are also discovering us. Like, I think I recently had someone tell me that they're like watching the show for the first time. I think it was actually, it may have been a comment on Spotify where someone said like they were watching the show for the first time and listening with us, which is really fun. I think that's like more of the younger crowd, because there are definitely people that listen to this podcast that were not bored when Grey's Anatomy started, which is offensive to me, but I'll allow it.
Well, yeah, I mean, on our Wrapped, 21% of our listenership is 18 to 25, something like that. So like offensive. young people, 18 to 24.
Okay, sorry. I have to go on a tangent that's irrelevant to you, but I'm gonna use this platform. Carmen refuses to see Wicked because he hates women, but Wicked is amazing.
Whoa! First
I think you should see Wicked.
I will see Wicked.
You literally said I will never see Wicked. You wrote it down.
Maybe I wrote it down, but I was just being a sarcastic, confrontational booty hole. I probably will see it. I'm not going to pay to see it.
Yeah, I don't think also, you need to see it in theaters, but it is really, really good. Wait, who did Jessica go with, or did she go alone?
No, she went with some of my friends who invited her out for Girls' Day.
Oh, I went by myself, and it was amazing. I cried.
Also,
and you guys, I like do not cry at movies very often, although I am pregnant, so.
I've listened to a couple of the songs, and also I got Jessica that the Starbucks, the gold gift card thing. You know, have you seen that? It's like
but
a Wicked.
I believe in you.
So I got it. It's like a gold. It's like a special edition gift card just for Starbucks. And it's like gold plated and it has like the Wicked like stamp on it. but I immediately transferred the funds to our joint account. So it's worth nothing on her keychain, but she has it on her purse. So
we talked about it.
I support
Wicked
and I support women. Asshole.
Allegedly. Oh, who did he just call a name? A woman.
Hey, get back in the kitchen where you belong.
Okay, settle down. JD Vance. All right, so
Did you see that
oh my god.
The Patriot memes are coming back?
Oh no.
The quote was when millennials are asking Gen Zers what words mean, and it was the guy in The Patriot saying, "Tell me about
Draco
Ohio.
Malfoy's father."
No. Yes. Yes. Whoa. Yes. That's his father. That's Lucius.
Oh, man.
He's the bad guy. Why is he the bad guy in everything? Oh my gosh.
Because he's really good at playing the bad guy, but he's actually
I did not realize
a very kind gentleman
until right now that he's Lucius Malfoy. Lucius.
Okay, back to the point I was making before I derailed us. Once I saw Wicked, I got on the internet and I was like reading other people's responses because like it just means a lot to a lot of people. And I love like reading things other like little Easter eggs or things that people picked up on and stuff like that. But I started seeing a lot of posts that were like, wait, what is this foreshadowing? Like, why are you saying that like her sister wearing striped tights means anything? And I'm like, because her sister is okay. I think the issue is a lot of people in Gen Z have not seen The Wizard of Oz. I think it is like fallen out of the cultural zeitgeist of like a movie that you just see when you're a kid.
I've also not seen The Wizard of Oz.
But you, I think our generation, it's referenced in everything. So you still like know like what happens. Do you know how it starts?
The tornado.
Yes. And what happens at the end of the tornado? Do you remember?
It sucks up her house and her dog. Isn't her dog named Toto?
Yes. But it like, there's just a lot of people that like they don't know anything about The Wizard of Oz. So they can't put together that these are all the same characters from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, why are you saying something's going to happen to her sister? And I'm like, also, Michael has not seen it, but anytime I am like talking about it, we just always devolve into she came down in a bubble, Doug. That's so funny.
Listening to the music, because Jess is like, you need to listen to the music. I was like, okay, fine, I'll listen to the music. I want to start by saying I went in there with unrealistic expectations because one, I compared how much I'm going to like that music to how much I love the music of Hamilton.
Which you also were against at the beginning.
Right. Now, again, but hold on, I will watch Wicked. I think part of it is, though, is like I've said, I've never seen The Wizard of Oz, but they sound good. The singing, the technicality of what they're doing sounds great. But I listened to Popular, and I was texting Jess, and I told her, I'm disappointed because I thought that this was going to be the real song Popular that Ariana Grande was in with Mika. And she's like, what are you talking about? That is her song. And I said, no, it's not. This is different. And she didn't understand. So I had to send her the actual song from like pop music. And she's like, oh yeah, no, that's totally different. But they have the same chorus line, which is very cute. It's like, cool, I like it. But like also she was telling me that there was some drama with, I guess Ariana Grande convinced some guy to cheat on his wife.
Well, we're not going to blame Ariana Grande for it. Ariana Grande cheated on her husband, and this man also cheated on his wife. I'm not going to say it's Ariana's fault. I'm saying both of those people
she's
committed
married?
Infidelity.
Ariana Grande was married?
She was. She's not now.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Anyways,
I didn't know she was with anyone since Pete Davidson.
Yeah. And no, Wicked debuted on Broadway in like 2003, so the music is 20 years old, so it is not going to be the actual Ariana Grande song, so sorry to disappoint.
Was that song popular in the original Wicked?
All of the songs This is a movie version of the musical Wicked.
Okay, cool. It's like the Disney Plus version of Hamilton.
It's not a pro shot. So I understand where it's more like the Mamma Mia's.
Oh, do they, yeah. Does 007 show up?
Yes.
Okay.
Just keep an eye out. He's there.
I also, let me tell you guys, pro Mamma Mia.
Really?
Pro Mamma Mia, yes.
I actually, so Mamma Mia was the first show I ever saw on Broadway, and it was like a month before that movie came out, and I was kind of bummed when I saw the movie because I just loved seeing it live so much, and I love Meryl Streep, like love her. So I was bummed that I didn't like the movie very much, but the way they used the stage in that production was just really, really cool, and so I was like, this is not as impressive. But what I like about the Wicked movie is that even though it's not on a stage, it is still obscenely grandiose. And there's so many things that they could have just like CGI'd or green screened or used special effects on that they use practical effects. And they like really did the only thing that they they obviously CGI'd was the talking animals, because animals don't talk in real life, unfortunately. But that's like basically one of the only things that they use special effects on. Everything else, they like really built these incredible sets and costumes and, such a good movie.
I love that. I will watch it. I just have not watched it.
That's fine. I don't think that you need to go see it in the theater, but I do think you need to watch it.
I will.
But it is very long, and you need to prepare yourself. It is only part one.
That was what I didn't realize. Yeah. I didn't realize that it was part one of a two-part thing, but Jess was giving me all of like what happens in part two, because one of the girls, my friend Tanya, who had gone with her to see the movie, was explaining all the things that'll happen. Because I don't think Jess has seen the play Wicked, or if she has, it has not been in the entire time that we've been together for the last 13 years.
I did see it on Broadway, and I did cry when I saw it on Broadway. And I also cried when I saw this movie. So my little theater kid heart cannot handle it.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what I thought it was, but like I said, I've never seen The Wizard of Oz fully, so I didn't get all the references. But anyways, before we get into the actual episode, did we want to share that thing from our Discord chat?
Wait,
from Shauna? Oh.
Let's do actual Shondaland. Let's do everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Ba-dum-bum. Oh my god, my phone updated, and now every time I open an app, it's like, what's new in this app? I don't give a shit. Okay. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
The coach of Seattle Prez.
Yes. The Ghostbuster.
Yes, the Ghostbuster. The angioplasty guy that Christina does surgery on.
No.
No? Okay. The guy with the hand, the garbage truck guy.
Yes.
Okay. The girl who got hit in the boob.
No.
Okay. The tumor girl and her mom.
Just her mom.
Just the mom. Okay, so that's 3. Is it the girl from the girl with the mole on her face?
Yes.
And the judge?
Yes!
Ah, amazing.
Well done.
Thank you. Okay. That was fun. And it's one of those episodes where your hard work pays off.
Yes, thank God. So Ernie Hudson was Dr. Brad McDougall, and he was in one episode of Scandal and one episode of Private Practice. And Drew Powell plays Carl, who is the guy whose hand got hurt, was in an episode of Station 19 as a different man. Judith Moreland played Mrs. Bayer, so the mom of the girl with the tumor. And she was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. And Peggy Doon, who was Louise, the woman with the mole at the courthouse, was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder, different episode. And then Eamon Hunt was the judge, also in a different episode of How to Get Away with Murder. So that's this week in Shondaland. Now, while we're visiting other lands, we're going to take a small detour to our Discord page where we are going to visit Shondaland. Shana, we don't, please clarify how
in
we
my
be
my truth
name.
Is her name is pronounced Shauna, so we're living in Shaunaland.
Yeah, and if that's not the truth, Shana, please tell us. Okay, yes. So she was listening to a season or an episode from season 7, and talking about the when I guess we were talking about like why do they use mice on clinical trials, and I said no one has explained it. Please explain it to us. And she typed out this lovely thing that we will be using for this is a teaching hospital, damn it. She said, it's easier to talk through, but honestly, this topic isn't very complex. First, her background, so you know where she's coming from. Right out of school, I worked at Geisinger Med Center in lab research. In a lab researching a collection of genes related to particular birth defects as well as breast cancer. We used mice, and she's not going to go into anything triggering with the mice, but she can do a deep dive on specifically why mice are used in research. There are a number of animals used as models in medical research. The most common are yeast, zebrafish, mice, rats, and monkeys. They are used because certain systems in those animals are analogous to humans. For example, a lot of my job was mating mice with particular genetic profiles, and then when the pregnant mom was a certain number of days gestation, take the litter and do various genotyping and experiments on the embryos. This could tell us what birth defects were produced in different genetic backgrounds. Which is pretty dope.
Truly. That is all
wild. I did know that yeast, mice, rats, and monkeys were common, but I did not know that zebrafish were commonly used in medical testing. That's so interesting to me.
Yeah, I would never have known that. I also didn't know about the yeast, so. But this is a teaching hospital, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I also... First off, Shana, thank you for that. If there are other people, not just in our Discord through Patreon, which if you're not on... Go to patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod and really get in there and get into our Discord and all of our chats and our extra content. It is hot. And you're welcome, Kelsey.
Thank you.
Yeah, we would really love to have you there. I do want to go back to living in Shaunaland for a second.
Okay.
What were we going to say?
I was going to say, are you going to finish your thought about if you other people have backgrounds that they would like to share about big questions that we have unanswered?
You're right. I didn't finish my thoughts. I am squirrel. If you have one of those things that you want to share, and if you're already on our Discord or if you're an email person or you're an Instagram person, like send it to us. We want to read these kind of things on air. If you are a doctor or a nurse and you're in the profession and you have things that you think are important or like there's something that is an inconsistency within the field that you're really passionate about or anything like that, like please let us know. We want to read that live on air because this is a teaching hospital, damn it, and also we love hearing from all of you. So please,
and if
let
you
us
like
know.
Want to do it and like have us keep you anonymous, we're happy to do that. So
yeah. So going back to living in Shondaland, Ernie Hudson also played Gus's dad in Psych.
Yes, I did. I did notice that when I was looking him up, I was like, "Oh, he was in Psych." Someone else was in Psych once, but it was like juror number 7. So I was like, "Oh, I don't know if Carmen will recognize this person." Well, also, I was watching a lot of The Lincoln Lawyer, and by a lot of, I mean all of The Lincoln Lawyer, which I do recommend. I did enjoy it, but a lot of crossover as well in the things that I've watched, the other Shonda things.
Ah.
Like the one-off crossover type people.
What was the movie that Robert Downey Jr. was in? Was he not in Lincoln Lawyer?
Lincoln Lawyer is a show. Robert Downey Jr. was in Oppenheimer. Is that what you mean?
No. Hold on. Now I'm annoyed.
Do you mean Lincoln? The movie about Abraham Lincoln?
No, that was Daniel Day-Lewis, which I did see.
I know. I'm trying to help get you there, but I'm not with you on this one.
The Judge. The Judge.
It's almost like the Lincoln Lawyer.
It is. That cast was wild. Robert Downey Jr., Robert Duvall, Billy Bob Thornton, and
the love of Kayla's life.
Dax Shepard.
It's not Billy Bob Thornton.
You're thinking of
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones, another three name person.
Oh my god. Stop. Another three named old man. Delightful.
And Dax Shepard and Leighton Meester were also in The Judge.
That is an odd cast of people.
It's an odd cast, yeah.
Spotify
if only Tommy Lee Jones were in there.
Spotify told me that the number one podcast shared amongst all of our listeners is Armchair Expert. I don't know why you hate that so much.
I just don't like Dax Shepard.
Because he's more famous than you. I truly cannot imagine another reason that you don't like him.
There are plenty of people more famous than me that I really
like. Yeah, but
like.
He's more famous than you for less than a lot of other people.
No, he's an actor.
Yeah, but he's not like A-list.
Look, I don't know why I don't like him. You're telling me there's not a single person that you don't like that you can't pinpoint why you don't like them?
Tobey Maguire.
You don't know why you don't like him?
I find him very irksome. I don't think he was a very good Spider-Man.
Okay, Dax Shepard is very irksome. I don't think he's been a great husband to Kristen Bell.
He brought a sloth to their home, sir.
Oh, I would have brought her a sloth.
So are you jealous that he's married to Kristen Bell? Like, what's...
No.
I don't know why I don't like him. Go back to therapy. I also, specifically, to find out why you don't like Dax Shepard.
There's a very niche piece of your skills that I need, therapist.
Maybe for one thing and one thing only. I don't want to be a better father. I don't want to be a better husband. I need to know why I don't like Dax Shepard.
In fact, I don't even want to stop hating Dax Shepard. I just want to know why.
I just want to source the hatred.
All right, we should talk about a Grey's thing.
Yeah, we probably should.
All right, what do you want to talk about first? Christina?
Let's talk about Carl.
Carl?
That's the...
Carl!
The garbage man who falls off of the garbage truck and then gets run over by a car. He is not having a good day. And so his hand is like super mangled. Obviously he has a whole bunch of other trauma injuries. So Owen is like, hey, Callie, can you get out of here until we assess the trauma? And Callie takes a lot of offense to that. But I do kind of see where Owen's coming from. This man has been run over by vehicles.
Yeah, much like Grandma has been run over by a reindeer, this guy was not doing well.
Yeah, so they get him stable, and then Callie goes in, and she's like, hey, I'm going to operate. I can totally save your hand, but like, heads up, I will probably have to chop off two of your fingers. And he gets upset, and he like goes to get his phone, and he pulls out what appears to be a weapon, but is not. It is a wood carving tool. But I understand why Callie is alarmed. However, if you're really alarmed, run away.
Right.
Is my thing. Is I'm just like, I would just leave the room. But so he, like his hobby, is carving wood for wood stamp prints, which is really, really cool and very intricate and difficult to do. And so obviously he needs his hand to do that. Callie like sees the pictures that he's done and she asks if he sells them. And he's like, no, I literally just like this keeps me sane. Like this is what I do for me. And I do think that unfortunately capitalism has created a society where we're like, whatever hobby you have must also like get you income. Which a lot of people will say that like that can make something not fun anymore, is like when you have to do it to make money. Cause then there's also like, oh, find something you're passionate about and you'll never work a day in your life. But I'm like, but it becomes work. So you're wrong. But there's yeah. definitely a fine line, but I like that he has like a hard line and he's like, I do this for me. And I have a lot of respect for that.
I also like, and, yeah. speaking of Tobey Maguire, when she hits him with, I'm something of a scientist
700 years later. Yeah.
When she hits him with that, I mean, she didn't say scientist. Obviously, that was my Norman Osborn joke. But when she hits him with, I'm something of an artist myself, I was like, Spider-Man! Also, I was out to lunch with a coworker the other day and No Way Home was playing. And I look up, and that was the exact moment that I saw that I realized that it was No Way Home. And he goes, I'm something of a scientist myself. He's locked up in a cage.
I love No Way Home. It was so good.
So good. Just so, so good. And I can't wait until the next Spider-Man movie, because what's going to happen? What, like, is MJ ever going to get back with Peter Parker? Are they going to make it?
Do we know ever again? Will anybody know? Who knows?
Find out next week on Grey's Academy.
Sorry, I have a yawn. So, yeah, Callie's like, okay, I like really want to try. So she gets Owen's approval to use like mesh and titanium or something. And she rebuilds part of his skeleton, which is crazy. But she loves it. She's great at her job and she does it. And she kind of brings April along with her. And she's like, does all that admin bullshit make your heart sing? No, do what makes your heart sing. And then she's like, do you want to do this? And April says, are you sure? And Callie says, will it make your heart sing? It's a really cute little moment in like a mentorship. That's really precious because Callie also struggled through the chief residency role for a while. And so I just like that she's like looping April into like not April's not just like getting OR at times. She's also like enjoying it and like seeing the it reminded me of when Weber was like, you got to find the joy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely some parallels to that. And I like that Callie is just such an interesting character from the outside looking in, because she's not someone who. And I'm saying this from the outside looking in. When I think of people who they love characters on the show, it's one of the original Magic or Derek or Bailey or Weber, right? Like one of the originals. I don't know that a lot of people, other than some of our group that we've had a chance to talk with, Callie is her favorite. Yet some of my favorite moments of this show, favorite interactions, favorite storylines, Callie finds herself in them. The actor Sada, right? That's what it is. Sada Ramirez.
Yes.
Acts so well in so many different unique storylines that make Callie come to life in just very cool ways. And I was not expecting to root so much for April because of Callie in this episode. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think the writers do a good job utilizing Callie because they recognize that her character specifically can be so relatable to so many different people. And they really do a good job like giving the opportunities for her character to work with other characters and like kind of find that connection. Because, like, Callie, I think at her core is just, like, a happy person and wants other people to be happy. Even if she's not, like, you know, besties with them. She still, like, wants people to succeed and wants to see people happy. So I think they do a good job utilizing that, like, established character.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay, so, yeah, she fixes his hand and he's happy and it's precious.
But before his hand gets fixed, like a lot of things happen.
Well, before his hand gets fixed, we got a word from our regional sponsors. And then we came back.
And then we came back.
Yeah. So this, we're going to backtrack a little bit because we're going to give the Christina lead up before we merge these two stories together. So Teddy has like, Teddy's like, oh, I got something great for you today. And it's not great in Christina's eyes. It's an angioplasty, which, I mean, is pretty accurately described as roto-rootering this guy's arteries. And so that's when they go out and they, like, just clear clogged arteries to, like, help prevent heart problems later on. And this is, again, something that's very commonly done for interns, but, you know, Christina never had to do it as an intern because she's so good, blah, blah, all this stuff. Same thing that, you know, same storyline that we've been kind of circling for a while now. But while she's in that surgery, which is going, it's not even a surgery, it's more of like an outpatient procedure, which is like going fine. The guy's just being annoying. So she has the anesthesiologist like knock him out. She's funny.
He was being annoying, but in kind of like a funny way. He's like, you're going to see a lot of cheeseburgers and French fries in there. I run a fast food joint, and I'm a good manager because sometimes when it's slow, I even mop the floors.
I clean the toilets.
He was kind of funny, that guy.
He was fine. And so while she's in that surgery, first of all, Meredith asked Teddy, like, yo, why is Christina doing this? Like, I don't understand. This is simply, like, below her pay grade, basically. Or below her talent level, really, is kind of more what they are implying. But Teddy's like, Christina is going to spend the rest of her career treating hearts that are, like, riddled with heart disease. And this type of procedure helps her, like, respect where that comes from. Like, it's, like, going back to the very basics of what cardiology is going to look like for her, and that obviously triggers Meredith, but we'll get to that. But so while Christina is doing this procedure, and Callie is doing Carl's procedure, Carl starts to have cardiac issues, and so they page cardio, and Christina is closer than Teddy is, so she runs over. And because she has to take the time to, like, get gowned and gloved, but April's already, like, scrubbed and ready, she kind of walks April through what to do to save this man's life. Because didn't they say it was, like, an aortic dissection?
It was an aortic dissection,
which is the thing that normally, like, kills everybody. Like, you never know about it until it's too late. But because they were already at the surgery.
We actually saw not too long ago Teddy lost someone.
Yeah, that was the Golden Hour episode, right? Like the overnight episode, and the guy like was going to take his kid to the baseball game or basketball game.
That's the one where they like had that badass walk up scene where they're like in their high heels, and she's like, "Yeah, dude, fucking cool." Ugh.
Yeah.
I want to watch that scene, but I don't want to search for it in YouTube and ruin my algorithm and screw me.
Yeah, don't. Okay, so so luckily, because he was already in the surgery, they were able to catch it and save him. But Christina comes in and she walks April through it, and they're like paging Teddy as well. And Teddy gets her and he's like, I'm so sorry. Why is April doing this surgery? And Christina's like, because she was like able to get to it before I was. And Teddy's like, okay, let me scrub it. And then she's like, I'm so sorry. Why is April doing this surgery? And Christina's like, oh my God, because she got to it. Like, it's not a big deal. And then Teddy's like, okay, cool. Why didn't you do the surgery? And Christina's like, for fuck's sake, I'm so sorry. I cannot ever be like good enough for you. And then Teddy,
when she's
finally,
like, you don't even like April. And April's like, yeah, ha ha ha. So true.
So real. And so then Teddy, you know, they leave, and Christina's like, I truly don't know what you want. Like, you want me to cut. You don't want me to cut. Like, I can't make you happy. I just give up. What do you want from me? And she's like, I want you to make a list of every surgery you've ever dreamed of doing. And I am going to do my best to make as many of them happen for you as I can. And Christina's like, what? And Teddy's like, the whole point of what I wanted you to do was like, look at the big picture and not just think about yourself. Like, you put the patient first. You worked as part of a team. You didn't almost murder your coworker because you were moving too fast. She's like, this is what I want. This is like the best version of you. And like, that's all I wanted to get to. And you've done it. You're graduating. And so I'm going to reward you. Make a list of everything you want. And so it's nice to be like, resolution.
I was so joyful in that scene. I was so happy.
And Christina's smile, like, after Teddy leaves, is so precious and pure.
Yes. It's like, I think that so often in a professional setting, you don't get this payoff. Most of the time, I think the people are shitty managers or leaders or quote unquote mentors. But like, Teddy from day one, not that she ever not that she always communicated it great to Christina. We saw her like behind the scenes
telling everyone
messaging.
Else what her goal was.
Right.
Yeah.
So this was a really awesome scene. This brought me a lot of joy to see the resolution there. And I also mad respect to Teddy. She didn't give up. She didn't quit. She didn't like let Christina off easy. So,
she didn't let Christina wear her down with her annoyances.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, when she was like, look, a year ago you almost killed Alex, and now today
not
you
even
let
it
April,
was like,
it
was the beginning of this season. So it was like 3 months ago.
Yeah. But yeah, that Christina versus the Christina who let April Kepner, chief resident, do that part of the surgery. It was growth, and that's all Teddy wanted to see. So awesome, awesome storyline, awesome resolution there.
Yeah. We love to see that. I agree. It was just, and then like the rest of the episode, Christina's like, I get to make a list. I get to make a dream list. I'm going to be the best. It's going to be so great. And then when she's drunk and she asks Owen, like, oh, can I do, but I don't even remember what surgery it is. And he's like, not right now. And she's like, that's a good call.
Yeah.
You're a good chief because I'm wasted.
And then the resolution to, what was his name? Carl?
Yes.
So Callie gets that win. She gets to go to him and his wife and basically be like, no big deal. I had to build you a new skeletal framework.
Everything's fine. It's super chill. I'm so great at everything.
When he looked at it and said, it's beautiful. And he says to his wife, see, I told you she was an artist. I don't know why, but I just got so emotional at that scene. I didn't fully cry, but I definitely got choked up and I had a lot of goosebumps. And I think if I was ever in that situation and it was losing fingers and being the difference between like playing guitar, I would want that doctor to do the same thing for me.
Right.
So yeah, just a lot of emotions going through there. So I'm happy for him. And Callie just gets to be a badass. And they're really building her, like, her Grey's universe as being just this fucking powerhouse.
Yeah, it's so true. So, yeah, I agree. She just is so passionate about everything she does. And I really love to see that. And I love it when, like, the patients appreciate the doctors. They're not just like, yay, and then they just like immediately just like celebrate with their family, but they like include, they're like thank you so much, you know, and like recognize like the work they did. Derek, I feel, is kind of has a similar storyline where he is he doesn't want to settle. He gets a little snippy with Owen, which I don't give a shit about because more people should be snippy with Owen. And also I see where Derek is coming from, to be honest, which is not something I say very often. So Derek has a consult with a patient who has a very specific tumor. It's not cancerous. It is a tumor in the brain, and it causes like a lot of seizures. But there's not a cure for it. There's just like, they do surgeries where they can remove parts of it, but then it grows back. And then they just are doing that forever. Now I can't remember. Let me see. I want to like correctly say what it is.
It was called an HH tumor.
Yeah, that's right. I am a hypothalamic hematoma. You know, one of those.
Well, let me take a look at this word here. Let me try.
A slow-growing, non-cancerous tumor that sits on the hypothalamus. So they go see her. She's seizing. The mom's like, this is her fourth one today. Her mother just wanted him to do the typical treatment, which is to remove part of it. But Derek's like, I'd really rather try to get all of it. And she's like, I am not comfortable with that. And he's like, that's totally fine. Here are a bunch of doctors, like where you're actually from, that can do this treatment for you. But I don't want to do it. And so she's like, that's fucked up. I flew out here because I like know that you're the best and I want you to do it. And he's like, that's super great. And I'm not going to do it.
He does say that these people are just as qualified as I am to do the thing that you're asking me to do.
Yes.
If you want to come to me, I'm going to do this the way I want to. And that's when I have a little bit of problem with the storyline, but we'll get to it. But at least I think he handled that situation originally actually very nicely.
I'm interested to see your take on this. Because obviously then Owen comes and is like, oh, this mother is saying you're refusing to treat her child. And he's like, no, I'm refusing to do what she wants when I feel that I can cure her child. And Owen's like, well, why don't you just do what she wants instead? And he's like, because I am sick of just fucking waiting around for problems to come up. I want to like be proactive and like solve the problems before it becomes a worse problem. And he's like, I'm just gonna convince this woman that what I can do, that I can do this and I can do it. Like what I want to do is the right choice. So tell me your problems with the story.
I have a problem with doctors convincing people like that. I don't think that we see it overtly, and there's a lot. I think there is a little bit of emotional kind of like a manipulation that happens in these hospitals to an extent. But when just the way Derek says, I'm going to convince her, I'm going to show her that I'm right. Like, it doesn't matter. Let this woman make her own decision at the end of the day. I do think it's messed up that he wouldn't have done the surgery for her. I get why he wouldn't have done the surgery, but she flew all the way out there. But I don't know. I just didn't like the way he framed it of, I'm going to show her that she's wrong because I'm a doctor. I don't know. That was just my initial take on it. I didn't have a
It sounds like you're being on Eli's side from that one time that he was like, why are you trying to get these people to do this clinical trial?
No, I was on Bailey's side.
I know, but now you're sounding like Eli, is what I'm saying. In that, from that specific scenario, not from the other weird times when we didn't like him.
I think it's interesting. Sorry, I yawn. Oh, fuck. More yawns. It's interesting how the revelation came to be about the probe situation, because they were doing on this test dummy with Derek was positioning the probe. Lexi was not doing well. Hunt was convincing him to do it again. And then while they were at the batting practice on the roof, that's when they're like, we need to reposition the head, not the probe.
Right. Well, I do feel like Owen did kind of make a pivot, and he was like, no, you're right. Like, I want to support what you're saying. Like, I understand where you're coming from. I don't want you to give up and like do a surgery you don't agree with. And I thought that was a good moment. And I thought that Owen was being a good leader in that moment. I don't necessarily think that he should do the surgery just because they flew out there. Respectfully, like, I think it's fine to be grateful for that and be like, I appreciate that you like did all this research and think I'm great, but like all of these other doctors can do this. Like, this is the standard of care for this specific tumor. It's like, I'm not doing anything special. So like being like, I came to you because you're the best. I'm like, oh, this isn't even something to be the best at, because this is just like a thing everybody can do.
Yeah. And he even goes into talking about how people with HH tumors like can't live normal lives. So
yeah, they can't ever live alone or like have jobs. Like I kind of see why you're reading it the way you're reading it. I just don't think that it's like, I'm going to bully you into that, into doing this procedure. Because I do think we've kind of seen that before in Grey's. And I just don't think that that's what this is.
No, you're right. You're right. It was more of like just an initial, I didn't like that was his perspective. I didn't like that he was going into that with the mission of, I'm going to convince her. I know that ultimately he wanted to help and he wanted to give this girl a better life. And the mom at one point was like, I'm not going to let my daughter be your guinea pig.
Which is fine. I don't think as a parent, I cannot imagine having to make that choice.
Hell no.
Because it is wildly risky, but it's also like, you know, it's one of those like, that's where the big payoff comes from. But it's also like terrifying.
Yeah. So I'm glad that she chose to do the surgery. And it is interesting, even in this episode, like Derek does talk about tumors, that they're like this living sentient being. And I envision them, like him looking at it. And he's like, it's Venom from the movie Venom.
Well, I think it's funny because like the other tumors that they see that are like cancerous, he's like, this tumor's smart. And like the way they describe the HH tumors, I feel like he would be like, this tumor's a fucking idiot. It's non-cancerous. You cut it up and it grows back. Like, I just feel like he'd be like, this tumor's annoying.
Well, he said at one point,
does not get to be smart.
He's like, damn, this tumor's really pulling down on that hypothalamus right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild.
Let go of the hypothalamus tumor.
Do you ever just like wonder if you have brain tumors? I wonder all the time. I'm like, I wonder if I have a brain tumor.
I wonder if there's a lot
just
of
don't
things
know.
Wrong with me.
Well, there definitely are, but that's specifically one I think about a lot.
Yeah. Anyways,
so, you know, she does end up agreeing to do the surgery. They do it. It goes well. Like for a second, it doesn't, and then it does, because you know it's Grey's Anatomy. They have to kind of pivot their plan and then just go in multiple times instead of just going in all at once and doing it. He has to kind of go back and forth, but they are successful. The mother is grateful, obviously. Ideally, this tumor does not grow back at all, in my truth.
Yeah, that's also my truth. It was interesting when he pulls out the probe and Lexi was like, well, what do we do now? And he's like, we do it again. Like,
we just keep doing that until there's no more tumor.
Yeah.
Okay. So, any other things we needed to talk about? Did we miss anything? I guess just Meredith solving the issue with the islet cell. I can only think of the word transplant trial. And Bailey yelling at her for having her mom's journal. And I was like, damn, Miranda, I know you're mad, but Jesus Christ, settle down.
That scene, that was so funny to me. When Bailey sees that she has a journal, she goes, what's that? She's like, it's my mom's journal. She's like, I know what it is. Why do you have it? And Meredith is like, same answer. It's my mom's journal.
It's my mom's journal, like, bitch.
This is
also
owned by my blood.
When Meredith gets an out of office email from Janet and gets super mad.
Yeah, we all hate those out of office emails.
And
it sounds like Meredith saved the trial, really.
Yeah, truly. Meredith is like, I solved the problems with your devices.
Marked it on the page for you. Okay, thanks. Love you. Bye.
Why Richard was like, let her on, like she is fixing your issues. So yeah, is there anything you want to add on anything before we rate it and predict things?
I don't believe so. Okay. Oh, in the scene where Bailey was originally telling Henry that like they need to test and everything, and Teddy was like looking at him all lovingly and they were holding hands. Just very
cute. Oh my
god.
She's like being like, Miranda and Henry are being calm and like trying to be positive and like find solves. And Teddy is like being an insane person.
Yeah.
She's like, this is your fault. I can't believe you did this. You inserted poison into my husband. I'm like, you have got to calm down. Like, you under. And Henry's like, it's called a trial. And we knew that when we signed up for it. And they do this, and then they find the solution, and then everybody is better. That's how trials work.
Right.
Didn't you say you're a doctor?
Oh, man.
So. Okay. Let's rate it first.
All right. I'm going to go first. This is a five.
I agree. It's also a five.
This is great episode.
I feel like anytime I have an episode where I hate neither Derek nor Owen, I have to give a high rating just because I'm like, well, either they weren't in it or they were not being shitty. Either one is fine with me. Plus, overall, I've said this before. Anytime we get to see them out of the hospital and like interacting outside of a surgical setting is just something I really love. And it's like a rarity, and they just do it so well, because I think it would be so easy to take them out of the hospital and like not know how to write them anymore. But these characters are just written so well that the writers really know how to take them out of that setting and like keep them the same characters. Drunk Christina, drunk Meredith, drunk April, so funny. Good guy Alex, we love, because he's had a run of not good guy Alex episodes, so it was nice to see him back on the good side. So I agree, it's a five.
And any time that a form of baseball / softball is included, it's already got me. Like, I'm in it. Did we have any Patreon questions for this one?
Yes. What other sport would you like to watch Seattle Grace Mercy West hilariously fail at?
Oh, boy. I feel like a Thanksgiving football episode would be funny.
Yeah, a la Friends.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that would be good. Tennis.
That's all I can think of. Tennis.
Tennis might be fun.
Tennis would be funny.
Get everyone flailing about.
To watch as, like, couples. Like, Derek and Meredith versus...
Christina, like, and Owen.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Or Christina and Meredith versus Derek and Owen.
Yeah, where Christina and Meredith just smoke them.
Yeah.
That would be funny, yes. Or golfing. A golf outing.
Where they're all just like shushing each other the whole time.
Everyone's terrible.
What position on the field would you guys play? None. I don't want to play softball.
I play left field or center field. So I am in the prime time outfield positions. And like I said, ya boy hits dingers.
Prediction for Christina's future now that she has graduated from Teddy's teaching and getting to choose her dream surgeries.
She's going to win that award that Burke got.
The Harper Avery?
He got a Harper Avery? Is that what it was?
Yes. That's what it was. He got a Harper Avery.
Yes. She's going to get a Harper Avery.
Okay. Do you agree with the positions everyone played? No. If you had to field a baseball team with the current cast, who would you put where? Where would you put Izzy or George? George could be a catcher.
George could be the catcher. That's fine. I really didn't have a problem with anyone's field position other than Henry.
Henry and Teddy.
Again. Oh yeah, Teddy shouldn't have been pitching. But that was really more so, why did you keep Teddy pitching if Derek was so good?
Lexi
was there, and
yeah.
All these other pitchers. I don't think I had a problem with anyone else. Everyone else seemed to be in a good spot.
Yeah. Izzy is also tall. So where did they want Meredith for being tall?
Meredith, in stereotypical co-ed softball, you have four outfield positions. You've got a left field, a left center, and a right field. You typically alternate where there's a guy, then a girl, or a girl, then a guy, then a guy, then a girl. So your two middle outfielders are guys. So you could put Meredith... Depending on who we think is to be more athletic, I think it's probably Izzy. Izzy would be your far left field girl, and then Meredith can be your far right field girl.
Okay, so then who would you put in the middle? Was that Richard and Bailey?
Me?
Who it was in the show. No, right. You're not.
In this situation, I am.
No, no. Multiple people want in the show, and that's just simply not you.
So, okay. You want to have, if you can have a girl at second base or if a girl at first base who knows what they're doing. So you could have Bailey at second base. Then you could have.
You're saying Bailey doesn't know what she's doing?
I don't know how women don't know what they're doing. Okay. All right. I'm not having this conversation. This was a setup.
You didn't say a man who knows what he's doing.
I'm telling you that typically you want a woman at either second base or a woman who really knows what they're doing at first base, because then you want to have typically a guy at third base and shortstop, because that's where all the meatheads who think that they're going to go pro, they pull the ball and they ground out to third base or shortstop. And then you need to have someone who can knock down the ball at first and not let anyone get past them. But in the league that we won, we had a really good girl third baseman, so we were able to put a guy at first base. So we had a girl at third, a guy at short, a girl at second, a guy at first, a guy pitcher, a girl catcher, a girl in far left, me in left center, Stefan was in right center, and then we had Jessica was in right field. KP was in right field, Jessica was in left field next to me. So I'm just saying, that's how it typically goes.
I just don't know that gender matters that much in this scenario.
Typically,
I think skill level matters.
Yes. So,
but that's not gender specific. If anything,
no.
Women will know more about softball because it's the only thing they're allowed to play.
In co-ed softball, typically the skill gap and the gender gap are synonymous. I am not saying that. History is saying that. Carmen loves women. History,
your
on the other hand,
specific
hates women.
History, I don't know.
No.
Counts as all history.
Well, I'm not going to get too political here, but America hates women. So.
Well, that's true. So if you could stop hating women, we would all really appreciate it.
I love women.
Go see Wicked. Okay.
I do a podcast with women.
I have binders full of women. Overall, do you think Teddy's been a good teacher to Christina? And did you like her teaching methods for her and predictions for the two of them?
Yes to the teaching, or yes to her being a good teacher. Yes to her teaching methods. No, as an asterisk, to her communication methods.
Communication. I agree.
Yes. And I believe that together they will cure heart disease.
They will cure hearts.
If they can
together,
just throw out
they
things,
will cure cardios.
If Meredith can cure diabetes, Christina and Teddy's combined brain power can for sure cure hearts around the world forever.
Teddy and Henry predictions.
I think that either Henry dies before they break up, or they're going to break up and he dies. But I think I'm leaning more towards their relationship ends because of his death. He dies.
Okay, and when do you think that would happen?
I think.
Hold on.
Season 8. I don't think he lives past season 8.
Okay, so this was episode 7.
Yeah.
And there are 24 in this season.
Yeah, I really don't see. I don't see Henry making it past season 8. I don't think he makes it to season 9.
Okay.
I also think that one of Derek, Mark, or Derek, Mark, Jackson, or Alex, a guy needs to be killed off soon.
Carmen hates men.
There's no winning with you. If I insult women, you're mad. If I insult men, you're mad. Gosh, why do you... Is it because I'm insulting people? Gosh.
It's just because you're you. Wait, do you think someone's going to die other than Henry? Do you think someone will die before the end of season 8? Is that what you're saying?
No. I don't know. I'm getting big. Derek's not going to see the end of his house built vibes. Derek is never going to step foot in his house.
Okay.
And I don't know when that's going to be, but for sure, Henry will not make it through season 8, for sure. Yeah, that's my only prediction right now. But someone's going to die, and I still think that Derek dies before ever getting into his own house.
Okay. Where did you think Christina and Meredith were before the shot panned out to a baseball field?
Just in a park, like sitting in a park, like friends do.
Do you think Bailey considered physically harming Meredith at any point in this episode?
I think that if Weber didn't walk in, she probably would have slapped.
I feel like Meredith would have shoved Bailey because she was drunk, and Bailey would have retaliated. But I kind of think Meredith maybe would have started it because she was intoxicated.
Yeah.
Do you think Alex redeemed himself from snitching on Meredith after his efforts today?
Partially. They still never would have been in the situation if Alex wasn't a dickhead.
Yeah. I really am proud of the way they chose to write Meredith forgiving Alex. I really just really like that. And I think it speaks to their friendship and her good personage. Okay. Prediction for Mark Lexi Jackson.
I don't know how Jackson can stay with Lexi after what he saw today on the field. Because he's starting to know what's going on, but I don't know. Again, I've said this a million times, I'm going to say it again. I don't like the will they, won't they, like back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I'm a little bit more invested in the Mark Lexi will they, won't they than I ever was Derek and Meredith. I just didn't give a shit if they were together or not.
Well, that's because Derek sucks.
and he lied, and Addison was caught in the crosshairs of that.
Yeah.
Although she's also problematic in private practice.
Just a titsy bit.
Don't know that we could fully blame Derek for that relationship after watching that unfold. I feel like Jackson and Lexi break up and Lexi gets back with Mark, but I don't know how that impacts Jackson. I don't know how that impacts anything, but I don't know. This is a love triangle that I'm very curious to see what happens, but I don't think Jackson can stay with Lexi after all of this. I think he breaks up with her.
Okay. Predictions for Derek and Meredith?
I think they're going to get Zola. I think they're going to get Zola, and then he dies.
Okay. When will they get Zola?
I don't know.
Okay.
What did they say? 8 weeks it was going to be on the docket? 4 weeks? What was the amount of time that they said?
Who said
that? I thought they said we have a hearing in 4 weeks or a hearing in.
No, I thought they said we're getting a hearing.
Oh. Well, either way,
we're going to get a court date. I think the judge or someone else at the courthouse was like, you have to write the letter and wait 6 to 8 weeks. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Maybe. I think. Let's call it 10 episodes. They'll have Zola by season 8, episode 17.
Okay. Who else is in this show? Do you have anything for Callie in Arizona and Mark?
No, they're all great for right now. Okay. Sophia's great too.
Okay. Anything for April?
I don't have a specific prediction, but my heart would sing if they would continue her babyface turn. I don't need her to be a heel anymore. I don't need her to be this point of like contention for people. I want to see her really be a part of the team, part of the group, welcomed, and one of them.
Okay. Is there anything that you want to make a prediction for that I have missed?
Adele's going to pass away in the next 5 episodes.
In the next 5 episodes. Okay.
Yep. Alzheimer's is going to get her. Weber's going to lose her, and he's going to be sad, and he's going to fall off the wagon.
That's a bummer. Okay, I think that's it for people. I think we've talked about everybody. So, yay. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for understanding when we took a break last week for Thanksgiving. Thank you for sharing your Spotify Wrapped and listening to us so much that we are on your Spotify Wrapped. We love to see them. So please share them with us on the Instagrams. You guys are great, and we just love your support so much, and we are working on getting our website up with some merch. So we will update you with that when we have more information. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. Don't think about it. Don't smell about it. Don't feel about it. Don't taste. Don't do any of that stuff. None of the spoilies. We appreciate you all, and we will see you all in the next one.